Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hey, what's going on, Archons? Welcome to another episode of Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. And we're coming at you with the KeyForge Celebration 2023 edition, as well as the World Championship edition. And did we meet a lot of KeyForge friends this week, Sydney, or what?
Oh my gosh, something like, 174 of them?
Yeah, it was insane. From all over the world, I either personally had conversations with or played games against people from Germany, France, Sweden, Finland, America, Canada. Like,
wow. I mean, I have team members in other countries who have never seen their face before this weekend.
Yeah, it's been a very great coming together of the world KeyForge and that community that exists. And that's been, without a doubt, the highlight of everything.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, we're going to kind of recap our weekend. Yeah, we're recording this on the Sunday, so we haven't quite had that part yet due to my travel accommodations. But we just had the Friday and Saturday, so the finals are still going to be happening very shortly after we record this. But I have to say, this has been a cool weekend. So, Sydney, what did you do for most of the weekend?
Oh my gosh. It was insane. I streamed for TTR on Saturday for 9 hours. So it's funny. Insane. I was sitting in a chair for longer than I do for work, but I was more engaged and excited than I have been in a long time.
Yes, it was pretty awesome. And we all need to give Sydney a huge thanks because she provided all the entertainment for those of you who could not be here. And we're getting to see some games streamed. And more on that in a bit. So let's start off with day one. So Friday, there was the last chance qualifier took place on Friday, which was a three deck sealed alliance using Winds of Exchange. And that was quite a way to start the day. That was a long day, actually. That was an incredibly long day.
Certainly was. I like the way that they handled it, where when you brought your three Winds of Exchange decks to the desk, they opened them, they scanned them in, and then handed them back in a bag so that you weren't able to like change them afterwards, look at them, decide you wanted something else, trade them with someone else. It was very, very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this was the first time they'd done Sealed Alliance as a
high stakes tournament.
Yeah, it was a last chance qualifier to get spots into the World Championship. And as a result of that, I think we started at like 10 a.m., right?
Yep. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, they opened at 8:30 and people were there waiting outside when they opened their doors. And we were all really excited to meet all of these new people. And registration was happening at the same time. People were getting their Winds of Exchange decks and then signing up for the actual event itself. Like, the whole place was full to the brim of people.
Mm-hmm. And it was a long tournament. Like, when I say long, like, I'm not exaggerating at all. It started at like 10 a.m. and it finished at almost midnight.
Right. Like, there were people there playing because they wanted to get in. And because of the way that it worked, like, there were so many people that we ended up having so many rounds. And if you made it high enough, even if you were knocked out, you had to wait there to see if you got one of the spots. So usually, normally, when tournaments go this long, like, and you're out, you've had your day, you've had your fun, you go out with your friends, you maybe go back to the hotel and get some sleep. But people were there playing KeyForge all the way until midnight because they were waiting to see if they got one of the spots.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And so how this worked at this year's tournament is they had a goodie bag, of course, right? Your prize bag, which was a mat, which was their way of making sure there was no more FFG mats in the building. So they basically gave everyone a random FFG mat. And there was a lot of really cool ones. There was like the Bumblebird mats. I think there was even Sins mats. There were some rare ones that were like top prize kits. So everyone got a mat on the weekend. Which one did you get, Sydney?
So I got, I think it was a Geistoid or maybe like a disc creature. It was art I didn't recognize, but a really pretty art.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, it's Malazan, I think.
Yes, that, yeah. Yep. And then
I got a Nox, which is a beautiful mat, like the Nox with the hippo coming out. But you could literally, like, nothing about that mat says this is cute. But I actually really like the mat, and I played with it all weekend.
I love that some people were getting other people to sign their mats. I know, yeah. June is trying to get literally every person here to sign her mat, and she got the Bumblebird one. So it looks absolutely gorgeous with all of these signatures across the front. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that was really cool. And in it as well was a Menagerie deck, because this year they did Menagerie instead of Unchained, which was an incredible step up in terms of gameplay and social experience and fun, because within it there was some interesting things. Like, for one, it had a lot of cards from the new set, so you got to see the new set. Like, Geistoid was in there, and it had there was something that was, they said there was a surprise, right?
So yeah, so Marcus walks up to me while everybody is still in all the lines, and he says, "Ooh, did you know there's a secret house?" And I immediately rip open my Menagerie deck, and in it is the secret house. And the secret house is the Kyrakin. And they took cards from the Kyrakin adventures and manipulated them a little bit to be able to be Keyforge cards in a deck. So I have a Kyrakin house in the only Menagerie deck I've opened so far this weekend.
Yeah, and I have to say, Menagerie is so much fun. As a casual kitchen table experience, it is incredibly rich and fun. And like, I don't think any deck is truly bad unless you got the Hesaptus Raptor package. But even then, like, it can still be a lot of fun. Like, it is really cool. Like, my Menagerie deck happened to come with the Curses packet, which was insane. So I basically have four Curses, which usually appear in different houses, all in the same house. And they're oppressive. When I put four Curses on someone, it's just insane what it does. So the Curses are going to be a thing.
And also, you usually get more than one packet. And I was surprised to see that. When they talked about Menagerie decks beforehand and mentioned packets, I thought, ooh, each deck is going to have one cool thing. But even though mine has the Kyrakin, which makes the house the Kyrakin, it also has the leader packet. So in each house, I have a leader, which is really cool, because that way, if you do get the Plague Rat one and you're not super excited about that, you probably also have one or two other packets in your Menagerie deck.
Yes. And so I was talking with Nathan because he was watching me play my Menagerie deck, because it was pretty cool. Like, I didn't get a chance to do a lot of other things, because I ended up getting four losses, but I literally had to work for those losses, which was a weird thing, because you could only get more packs of Menagerie if you had two losses, and my deck was doing pretty good. But he was saying, as he was watching me play, that he thinks these Menagerie decks are a really incredible way to introduce new players into the game, because they have really specific cool things that Keyforge can do that are rare, but they're actually like curated to exist within a deck. And I thought that was a really great point that Nathan brought up. So I'm hoping people will think about that and do that. And I literally only got one more deck, so I had a pair so people could play with.
Yeah, I know that people were playing this weekend to lose to get more decks, like they did last year with the Unchained. And while people were opening things, you could hear across the room was like, oh my gosh, I got an XYZ packet. Like, there were witches and more wolves. I know somebody got a Kyrakin house that usually comes with the leader, but because they also got the Morwolf packet, which mavericked into the Kyrakin house, they didn't actually get the Kyrakin. The legendary Kyrakin didn't pull into the house because there were too many Morwolves. So it was just
hilarious.
The crazy kinds of things that can happen in these decks, and that are guaranteed, that are like forced to happen in the algorithm, just make them so much fun.
Mm-hmm. So while this Menagerie was happening, it was like people were getting into their decks, especially waiting in line. But we had an alliance tournament going on, the Sealed Alliance for WoW. So we built our decks, Sydney and I. We sat together, built our decks. I was like unsure, but I felt really good about my Mars pod because I had a grunt token. And it we went and played our games.
Yeah, I had a Sanctum pod in each of my houses. So I had two Sanctum tokens and I had the two power Star Alliance token. So I had Disciple, Defender, and Star Alliance token. And I definitely...
Researcher, right?
Researcher, yeah, thanks.
Or Explorer.
Sure, one of those, yeah. Two. So I was thinking which one of these Sanctum pods is the best, because I'm probably going to pick a Sanctum token. And I went with the pod that had the most amber, because the other pods that I had really didn't generate much amber. So I had less options than I hoped, because I had so many duplicate houses, but I had fun building the alliance.
Yeah, for mine, I went for my usual standard approach, which is to write down all the houses and the stats of pips, creatures, ember control, board control, efficiency, disruption, and then token generation, the cards that will create tokens. And I basically used that basis. But this time when I did this, I actually took a new approach, which I hadn't done before, which was I looked at the houses rather than just opening them up, just putting them down and then just looking at them just for stats. I actually took a moment to evaluate, is there anything cool that pops out that made me want to choose that pod without knowing any stats, like just seeing it. And I wanted to do that just to have, and there was two pods that stood out that way. So I kind of earmarked them as something to, regardless of the stats, maybe it should be considered. So that was a new approach and it worked pretty good. My deck was pretty solid.
I love that. Like, I didn't even think to do that because there are so many definitely really good combos that don't actually like tick up any of those meters pretty high. Like, they don't have crazy amber control or crazy amber generation, but what they do is something really special to the board state or something that you can't really judge with stats. So I love that approach.
Mm-hmm. And it worked out pretty good. My record for the day is I got fairly deep into the tournament. I was into the sixth round and I ended up with a 4-2 record. So I was 4-1. Oh no, 4-2. And then I ended up getting knocked out in that sixth round. So I went 4-1 and then lost to, I can't remember who it was. I think it was the Swedish, like he won his nationals, the guy who won the Swedish nationals.
Wow.
And so he was already qualified, which this was the interesting thing. We're at this late point in this tournament. Mm-hmm. And there's probably like less than 20 people left at this point, I'm pretty sure.
That's awesome. That's crazy fantastic.
Yeah, so I think the tournament started with like 150 people. And then when I got knocked out, I was 19th. That was my official ranking on the board. But there were so many people playing that already had qualifications, like a lot.
And that's why so many people stayed to the end. Like, if because playstyle now has your ranking in it, the fact that people were able to know, oh, I'm 20-somethingth. We don't know the exact number of slots available for tomorrow. And I know a lot of people end up being in the top rankings who already have qualifications. Like, anybody who was looking at their rankings and were in the like low tens-ish, like they knew they were in. But other than that, so many people hung around just to wait.
Yeah, and a part of that was I realized I was in this, I guess, this cusp of a bubble. So I'm like, oh my goodness, like I'm actually going to potentially qualify for Worlds. And I was like, I'm not prepared for this. And as that realization came, June was kind enough to be like, hey, if you need an alliance deck, I have one for you and it's good. Like you should play it. And I was like, you know what? I want to go into alliance. Like, I don't think I want to play Archon if I'm going to go into something where I don't have, like, especially Worlds.
Right.
Like, Archon reps are going to be way more important than in alliance, because alliance, it's a concept, and if you understand, like, to play and execute.
Right.
So, yeah, as it was going down, and then I'm listening to people and talking to them, and I'm like waiting around, and it's looking more and more like I am in a good position to potentially qualify for Worlds. And so we hung around, and sure enough, I did actually end up qualifying for Worlds, which was amazing because I was super blessed and excited to get to participate in the very first ever KeyForge Worlds Championship. So
I was so excited for you. Like when you were sitting there and there were a handful of us in the room and like everybody knows who you are. So like the whole room like erupted when your name was called, and it was so exciting to be there to share that moment with you. And everyone was so happy for you.
Yeah, it was great. And my buddy Luke, Logotarian Luke, who's just been, honestly, him and his wife, Becca, have been just the greatest hosts. They let us stay with them because they live like 7 minutes away from the game center. So it was really ideal. And I haven't gotten to see him since Vegas in 2019, Vegas Vault Tour. So it was so great to get to hang out with him. And it's just been amazing. So he was there with me playing some KeyForge too, because he's pretty dialed in with the KeyForge community here in Minnesota. So it was kind of cool for him getting to meet all these people he hadn't seen in a while because he hasn't been playing that much KeyForge. So it was such a great end to day one to have that. And then June was like, okay, got to get you this deck, and just telling me all about it. And then blessed as well as Sydney had played against the deck multiple times, so she was very familiar with the deck I was being given. So some sage advice as well. It was great.
So I definitely want to thank Luke and Becca, because we have been staying with them all weekend and they are absolutely wonderful and fantastic and amazing. And thank you again. I know you're going to listen to this. But speaking of June, I did want to throw in there that on day one, we were able to play test her version of Keymander.
Oh, yes.
Which is a way to play KeyForge that is like the Magic the Gathering version of playing Commander. And a lot of you listening may actually know what that is. I did not. So I knew it existed as a concept. I knew nothing about it. But when I sat down to play, and there were four of us, all four of us were playing a four-player game of KeyForge. And June and Fabulosing went through all of the trouble of not only like creating these decks, but they also created the leaders, and those they created from scratch. Like they designed leaders and then put together pods to create decks for us to be able to pick from and play. So it was very, very well thought out. And I had so much fun. Like, I know those of you who have played Commander before from Magic, like all of this isn't new to you, but the fact that you work as like a team of three to fight the person who's doing the best, but then you also are like, everybody's out for themselves, and you can use a little bit of social deduction to be like, yeah, I can't get this person off key, so you have to do it, and then save your amber like control cards for another time, or like, it's just, it was such a crazy, fantastic way to play Keyforge. I'm excited to play more of that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the gist of it is your decks are bigger. So how it works is your decks are still three houses, but there are technically six pods in the deck. So that how it works is you get two pods of the same house, and then that times three basically. And so you have six pods in, so you have a more dense deck, and it honestly, like, I did not feel like I had a crazy amount of cards of any one house at any given time. It still felt extremely Keyforge. Like, there was nothing that having a bigger deck or anything like that created this instance where this didn't feel like Keyforge. It was an unbalance where you had so much of one house. It was very much worked exactly the same. You just had this Keymander leader that kind of created an insane effect that you could utilize, and it was really cool.
And the best part about the Keymander was that the leader didn't start in play, so you had to fund the leader coming in by discarding a card underneath it, but the card that you discarded gave it a house. So if you discarded multiple cards of different houses underneath it while it was in play, you could use it as if it belonged to that house. So you either really whatever house was funding it. So if somebody had a really powerful leader that they could use on any house, like maybe the rest of the other people had to prioritize getting rid of that leader, but then they could get it back in play a couple turns later by just funding it with more cards. So I really, really loved the concept. And it felt really, like you said, it felt like Keyforge to me, because all of the cards we were playing were Keyforge. So we were still capturing and reaping and gaining amber, and the win condition was still keys. And it was so exciting. If you want to learn more about it, then we have a lot of information in our Discord.
Yeah, and we'll put in the show notes the link to the Keymander Discord too, so that way.
Absolutely. So why don't we start on day two? Because that day was long for both you and me.
Yes. So I got there early, had to do my deck check. So my deck, which was given to me by June that morning, when I arrived, I had to re-sleeve it in new sleeves and then give it over for a check, pass the check, and off to the races. So I play my very first game of World Championships. I happened to be on stream, and I was playing a Scholar deck that had double heavy subsidies and triple Legionnaire Trainer with two Long Disorder Lectors and two Faust with a city-state interest. So it was an insane deck. And it had this great Mars pod that just complemented and brought in the Scholar token, but had like a total recall in there. It had suspended animation so you could damage things and just remove their key pieces into your archives. It was a really amazing deck. Like, I really liked playing it. And the first time ever playing it, I just, like, it was gangbusters to start with, and I was on stream, which Sydney was watching.
I could not be more excited that you were the first person I was commentating, but for multiple reasons. One is, I really loved that I could, like, talk specifically about this. Like, I was telling all the listeners and the audience members, like, what your experience was getting this deck, and also, I knew the deck, like you said, so I was able to talk to it while it was on stream, and I was just... Streaming your game first was like, started my day at a high, and it only stayed that high. It was like every game that I streamed felt super fun.
Yes, and it was honestly a crazy game. You can watch it. It's literally the first thing on the TTR, and I ended up not winning it, and we went to time, and I just didn't have the last pieces. I did make a misplay, which I think actually made a huge difference, because I would have forged one key sooner, and that was I went to seven, and I didn't have to, and my opponent had a Martyr of the Vault out and was able to blow it up with a Beware of the Ides, and I was so disappointed in myself for doing that, because I knew, like, right after I did it, I had made a mistake. So I was, like, incredibly annoyed with myself.
Yeah, that situation isn't something that I was able to see, because a lot of times when we're streaming the way that we're streaming with the camera from above, we can't see what are in people's hands. So I didn't know, and you didn't know. So give yourself some credit. You didn't know if he had another way to get you off key. So you didn't know if there was something else that could have like captured a single amber or stolen a single amber. So going to seven may have been safer than just staying at six.
Yeah, true, true. So that was my first game. And then second game, I played against this gentleman, Tonio from France. And he had...
Siskin.
Yes, yes. He had a double Martian Generosity key abduction deck using Shadows with a quad routine job.
Ugh.
And the deck, like, in the first game that deck played, like, it just sung to me. It was, and, like, the way things came, it was so nice. Second time, it was a little bit more, janky in the card draw. And I got a heavy subsidies right away, which I was in my mind, I'm like, this is a way to counter Genka, is have the keys cost so much so that it won't matter. But he ended up by turn four having his entire deck in his hand by turn four. And then it was just over, because when you have your whole deck with a double Martian Generosity, you play one Martian Generosity and you play your key abduction, and then you're cycling both back, and you just do that three times in a row, and the game was over. Like, he literally played it, drew his deck, game over, and I barely even got to play. It was not fun. And this is my quip with Alliance and Martian Generosity, is that this happens where a person can play the game by themselves and there's no back and forth and the game's over. And so that is, but this has been my Alliance journey. Like, I had to conclude it in the best way possible. So I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast so much, it kind of started in Vegas really, and then I got an amazing deck to play, and it is truly an amazing deck, and concluded by getting to participate in the Alliance World Championships. I finished off 28th in the world overall, which is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I got to have a great experience, and it took nothing away. And as much as it sucked to obviously be out, I was able to be free and enjoy a day of casual socialization Keyforge, which I wasn't disappointed, and I still got to be a part of the World Championship. So all in all, it was a fantastic day, even though I scrubbed out O2.
Well, congratulations. You deserve it. You earned it. Like, you did so well in the LCQ. You've put in so much time. Like, I really feel like, if anyone, you deserve to be in the World Championship.
Oh, thanks, Sydney.
And I won't recap all of the games that I streamed, because they're out there for you to watch if you're interested. But I will like a couple of little tidbits from the whole day is, even though the people that randomly ended up on stream, there was a lot of Genka. And so people started having conversations about how Genka is taking over the meta. But what was hilarious is, because the games that were streamed were randomly picked, like the people, if you were assigned the table that happened to be the streaming table, that's where you sat and then you were streamed. It didn't showcase how many scholar decks were in worlds. There are more scholar decks in, not a spoiler, because by the time you hear this, the winner of the world will be announced, but there were more scholar decks in the top four that made it to day two that are going to play today. There are two scholar decks, one Genka deck and one MM deck. So scholar...
No, Worlds Collide. It's Worlds Collide.
Deck. Worlds Collide. Thank you so much. But like, there are more scholar decks in the top four of worlds than there are Genka. And there were as many scholar decks in the field as there were Genka. And so
I had a scholar deck. My first opponent also was playing a scholar deck. We had a mirror match. So like, my hand got clogged because I couldn't play heavy subsidies, because he had such a bigger board than me, and heavy subsidies with a big board and scholar is like what it wants to do. So I would have literally played into what he wanted. So I had to hold the heavy subsidies and not play it, because we were both doing a mirror match scholar. He just had the near future lens, which was pretty sick.
Yeah. So I want to say there are multiple metas out there, and Genka isn't like the dominant one that will beat everything else. And especially, I know we're going to get into it momentarily, but like, with Grim Reminders on the horizon, there are a lot of other strategies that may eventually become dominant.
Yes. So after all this, it was a fun day of casual Keyforge for me, and I was having some beers there, which was amazing to get to have a couple of beers while you're just hanging out and playing Keyforge. Great day, good socialization. And then we went into a part where they shut all the doors and set up for Christian T. Peterson's keynote address, which was amazing. Sydney, what were your favorite takeaways from that?
So I think, like, first of all, I loved the video they had at the beginning actually had a lot of B-roll from all of the events this year. So they basically, like, in a short, like, few second recap of clips they'd taken over the course of the year from all their other YouTube videos, they basically had images of all of the players that had played things over the course of the year. And it was such a heartwarming recap because, I mean, I did see myself, but I also saw all of the people there that I had played against and hung out with. And what made KeyForge so special this year was all of the events that I attended. So I really, really liked that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really awesome to see. And then we got some great announcements about the way the game is going to be moving forward. And it was officially announced that they're doing a spring and fall release for all of the sets moving forward. So two sets a year for KeyForge moving forward. So we got coming up Grim Reminders in the spring, and then we have Ember Skies coming in the fall. So those are the next two ones. And they're really hard at work planning stuff. So we can expect basically two Game Found campaigns a year, it looks like.
And I think the fact that they're getting on a cadence, one of the things that Christian T. Peterson, CTP, described in the speech itself was the things that he wanted to achieve so that he could gain credibility with retailers so that he could actually start a fantastic OP program and actually move into stores and be trusted by retailers. And one of those things for him was having a release schedule. So I like that that was top of mind for him, because that's something that we also want, is the fact that all of his efforts all year that may have seemed a little bit janky to us, that may not have seemed super intuitive or obvious, he was using every single one of those steps to get into stores, to make it so that he could tell retailers, we are trustworthy, we are successful, we are moving forward. So I honestly think that now that it's all coming together and all the puzzle pieces are coming together, I'm even more excited for the things that he announced.
Yeah, everything that happened this year were actually growing pains. And from what we heard is those pains have been addressed. And now the infrastructure is in place to have success moving forward. So we shouldn't see the same issues that we saw this past year. This was just due to, from what he stated, basically getting everything up and running. And now that everything is up and running, there is a system in place.
Right. And like, it was kind of cool that some of the images and the clips he showed were him actually holding Grim Reminders. Whereas at this point last year, Winds of Exchange was still like being like figured out and tested and not actually like to print yet. Whereas now, knowing that it is already in print right now at this moment in time, so that it can be distributed well and it can have the quantity that they are looking to print, I think that that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. And then there was also one last thing that they said, which I think was the most important takeaway. What was that, Sydney?
Local play support. They have things in place to release to retailers and stores and groups that want to play KeyForge for 2024. Like, they are ready to have things like store championships. They have casual play kits that they are, that's something they announced previously. So that's not new, but they have in-store tournament kits. And what I'm actually pretty excited about that they mentioned is they have major storyline events. They plan on releasing that in Q2. And I have no idea what that means, but storyline to me feels like something like a legacy game, where like it matters what you do returning time after time. Like, when you sit down to play a legacy game, what you did in the last time you sat down to play matters. And so storyline feels like, if I do something this week, like whether it's like you get a deck this week and then next week somehow you use that deck in the same way, like make an alliance with the week before, or like if you earn something with it this week, like then you have to do something different with it next week. I don't know. Like, I'm not the creative genius, but I love the concept.
Yeah, it's really great, and it's gonna be a fun time. And I really like that how he emphasized it's not just for retailers. He said for play groups as well, because I think they recognize that the online groups that hold tournaments, as well as maybe people just have a group that's not in a store, it's at their college or something like that. Those are gonna be able to be available to anyone as well who runs. So it's not just retailer things, prize kits, which I thought was
really cool. Yeah, that keynote made me really excited. And I know that last year I was also really excited, but they overpromised last year. So this year I think they kept their promises a little bit more tempered, because what they didn't do is give us a schedule of this is like April, May, June, July. They gave us quarters. And so like Q1, Q2, but I think that they were more, they were lighter on themselves so that they wouldn't under deliver this year.
Yeah. And then after that, it literally ended. And you know what we did? we started something called Nightfall, and the Nightfall event was, you got it, you guessed it, three decks of Grim Reminders and playing Grim Reminders Sealed Alliance. And friends, Grim Reminders is fun. I don't think we're going to go into too much detail about that. We're just going to just tease you that Grim Reminders is so much fun, and Geistoid is crazy. Like, Geistoid is a really fun house.
We'll definitely do more talking about it, maybe like a whole nother episode in the future. Yeah,
definitely.
But we have like whole decks to talk about. We have this whole experience to talk about, but like, I feel like we can't like fit it in right now, like, yeah, everything that we learned. Justice. Right.
Yeah. So just know it's fun, and there'll be more content coming on that soon. But you know what? We cannot end an episode without our titular segment, and we call this one
Help from Future Self.
And you know what? Being World Championships, we decided KeyForge Celebration, World Championships, you know, the celebration of all things KeyForge, we decided that we would each do a Help from Future Self today. So, Sydney, why don't you start off with yours? Because I really liked yours.
So, this weekend, we met so many people who communicate in so many ways to be media presence for KeyForge. And they are on Twitch, they are on YouTube, they are on podcasts. And we also, there are a handful of people who do other things for KeyForge so that our fan experience is enhanced. So like there's DOK and TCO and Draw Better Cards. And there's just so many things that fans are doing to make our experience better. And meeting so many of them face to face this weekend just made me appreciate them even more. So if you are using a service a fan provides, you can Patreon them or buy their merch or reach out to them and tell them how amazing you think they are, because I think there are so many people here today that do it just for you guys. Like they're doing it because you love what they do and it makes them happy. So they're putting in all this time and effort. And my small little caveat there is, if you do end up buying any merch from any of your favorite services and you get shirts, get long sleeve ones, because if you are ever going to come to Worlds, it is probably going to be in November in Roseville, Minnesota from now going forward. And my clothing this weekend may not have been as warm as I had hoped.
That's definitely a good advice. For me, it was, if you have a shot, you got to take it. That's definitely what it is. Because I remember I was talking to Linus Sue in the morning of Friday when I got there, and I was saying, I don't think I'm going to play in Worlds. Like, even if I have a chance, I'm just not going to do it. And then when push came to shove and I realized that it was possible, I was like, why would I not do it? You got to take a shot for things. Play your best in whatever tournament you're in, no matter what happens. If it's a casual tournament, like when we're playing Grim Reminders and there's nothing on the line, still play your best and enjoy the experience. Don't diminish whatever it is. Just have fun and play your best, because if you're not, you're also taking away from experience your opponent could be having, and you all need to have that experience together.
I love it.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. You can find us on our Discord, best place to reach out. There's links in the show notes, and that's the best way to ping Sydney and I there if you wish to ask us anything about Worlds. But it was a lot of fun. Please go check out the TTR stream, check out the Keymander Discord if that sounds like something you might be interested in doing. Rules, assets are all available there.
Fantastic.
And as always, Archons, stay forging.